We love following him on Twitter, at CSN Bags with two G's. Last night on TV, he had the Northwestern tie on, very prominent. Andy Baggerly, good morning.
I got to have the purple on, Marty. You know it's my school color.
Yeah, it was very prominent last night, and you warned us there was going to be something special last night.
Well, the nice thing about the purple in my house is my partner, she went to the University of Washington, so we can wear each other's colors to the football game and just sort of turn the jerseys inside out, and we match perfectly.
All right, very good. Hey, you know, last night, again, you know, we tweeted back and forth. I followed you, of course, on Twitter. But for me, Vogelsong, the way he ended a few of those innings with strikeouts and the other inning with a tap back to the box, I thought he looked, I thought he looked as good as I've seen him going back to 2012.
Yeah, and you know, you cover enough games, you realize that it can be a completely different narrative depending on which clubhouse you go to. I mean, for the Braves, they're looking at these last two games thinking, geez, you know, my kingdom for a hit with runners in the scoring position. They look at all the base runners they had against Lincecum, against Vogelsong. It's really the same start, 6 innings, 9 base runners, and 1 run. 2 for 8 runners in scoring position against Vogie, 1 for 7 against Timmy. So that's the way the Braves are looking at it, and it's not like they were dominant starts the last two, so you can't make too much of it. But what you really like is that they're making pitches out of the stretch. That's something we know Timmy's been challenged to do in the past, and they're able to get their stuff down when they need to. And you saw Vogelsong elevate also with his fastball when he needed to. I think he got Simmons out, think out of a big inning with a fastball up. And really, the most encouraging thing, Marty, I thought was, you know, he went out there for a sixth inning. Bruce Bochy told us a lot about what he thinks about Ryan Vogelsong by having him go out there and try to squeeze one more inning out of him. And Vogelsong was at his sharpest in that sixth inning. I mean, he hit every spot, and not just with his fastball, but with pretty much every off-speed pitch he threw, too, against some dangerous hitters. I mean, he's throwing inside to Evan Gattis, who's going to hit it basically to off the Georgia Dome if Vogelsong misses his spot inside there. And he just boom, 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 in, and tied him up. And that, to me, was the most impressive thing, because you knew that he would find a way to compete. You knew he'd find a way to have the stuff. Could he maintain it? You know, was his back going to lock up on him? Is he going to be able to stay within his delivery if he has a stressful inning? And he did. He had a stressful second inning, walked the 7 and 8 place hitters, didn't give in until he got to the pitcher spot, left him loaded. And he still had enough left not only to pitch a really good sixth inning, but really to be at his best in that sixth inning. I think 107 pitches, I have to look this up to be sure, but I'm pretty sure he didn't throw that many at all last year. It's probably his highest pitch count, you know, by a couple pitches since 2012. So that's what I take out of Vogelsong's start that I think Giants fans should be encouraged about.
Yeah, no, you hit it very hard. 4 of the last outs are strikeouts, and but he ended those innings. He struck out Upton to end the 5th with runners in scoring position, struck out Upton and Gattis to end the 3rd with runners in scoring position. Got Tehran, of course, the pitcher, to bounce back to the box in the 2nd. But for me, seeing the ball move, and that was what I saw last night. For the first time, the ball moved. And you're right, getting the 6th inning out of him, and with the way these guys play, you know, I jokingly tweeted Bochy saying, all right, just give me 3 more outs. Get me out of the 6th, and I'll take it from there. And I think that's the mentality of the ball club right now.
Yeah, and you see, Rich really did such a great job on the pregame show yesterday breaking down what went wrong with Vogelsong and what he was able to correct in his previous start to yesterday. And it's his direction, his line to the plate. And you're not able to finish your pitch if you're sort of overstepping and you're over-rotating. And, you know, I wonder when I see that with him if maybe, you know, his back is a little tight. Certainly when he's right, he's able to keep a good line to the plate, and that allows him to finish his pitch, and that allows his curveball to have that downward movement and the cutter not to leap back over the plate. And I think you saw him looking healthy and looking sharp yesterday when you needed to be.
Yeah, 3 of his last 4. Excellent. 3 of his last 4. You got L.A., Cleveland, and this one, and you throw out the Colorado one because it isn't Colorado. And, you know, maybe he's turned the corner, but we'll see. We'll see. He's pitched, Saturday? So Sunday, does he open up in L.A.? I guess he probably opens up in L.A.
He would get the first game in L.A., and I think it probably would be Hudson against Kershaw in that series, right?
Kershaw is supposed to go Tuesday, I thought, so maybe Kershaw on Sunday, I thought. Maybe that's what they're looking at, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, but look at all these solo home runs. You know, it's almost crazy. I mean, I do a scorecard like you do every game, and I circle the runners in scoring position at bats in red. I don't have one on the card for last night. They never got a runner in scoring position last night.
Yeah. They good news is, bad news is they didn't have a hit with runners in scoring position. The good news is they didn't have any opportunities.
Really?
So, you know, you win them however you can win them. You get the runs however you can get them. And, you know, this is why Bruce Bochy is starting Brandon Hicks. This is why he lobbied so hard for Michael Morse. I mean, this is a guy who he knows that, you know, to string hits together is great, but you can't always count on it. Sometimes it's nice when guys are struggling, you can create a run with one swing. And, you know, Bruce Bochy's a National League manager, and he doesn't like to but he doesn't like to bunt, and he's got a little Earl Weaver in him. He enjoys watching guys trot around, especially if they're Tim Lincecum with a fake stomach.
How about that? Tell the fans, if you didn't see it, Andy, describe it, because it really was pretty funny.
Oh, it was, you know what? It was funny to start with. He put on some, he already looks like he's wearing a disguise with that mustache, right? It looks glued on. So he adds some glasses, and he stuffed his shirt with something, so he's got a paunch. So he walks out with a lineup card with his hand in his waistband, you know, Al Bundy style. Is he doing Ron Wotus or is he doing Bruce Bochy? And then he went out and joked around with the umpires. And, of course, he's wearing a throwback in 1946 jersey, the baggy flannel jersey. So, you know, he looks like Billy Martin out there. And then he comes trotting back in, and he's got the Bruce Bochy trot just nailed down. You know, start the slow trot, get going a little more, put your head down, got your arms sort of chicken winging at your side, and then he got back to the dugout, and Bochy was just rolling. He loved it. And you know what? This is the kind of stuff that enjoy seeing as a fan, that I enjoy seeing as a reporter, that you enjoy seeing too, Marty, when guys are having fun. And that's what happens when you're winning ball games.
Yeah, you're right. And it's only, believe me, it's only 30 games. But I tell you, Andy, and I said it this morning, maybe you heard it on the way in, they're looking, and it's only 30 games. I have to keep telling myself that. But this is the way they blew through the playoffs. They got every hit when they needed to. The bullpen was just lights out with Lincecum leading the way. Excellent starting pitching. And they just found a way to win games. And this little 9-game streak here, 8 of 9, they've been able to do that. It's a game of cycles. The week before that, everyone wanted to fire Bam Bam and bring Barry Bonds back to play left field and be the hitting coach. So, you know how baseball works. But I think over these last 9 games, it's the first time I've seen them look like a World Series type of team.
Well, and it's not all been, as you mentioned, it's not all been wine and roses here. I mean, for a week and a half, the offense was just awful. And the rotation to start the season was not very good. And that bullpen has been, as we've talked about, the MVP of this team. And if they can keep it up, if that bullpen can keep it up, then I think that this is pretty sustainable. And you think maybe it is sustainable in that bullpen because, you know, we haven't seen everybody who's throwing the ball well. Derek Law is mowing people down at Double-A, and he's going to be up at some point this year, and he's going to contribute. Heath Embry is really off to a good start at Fresno, gave up a couple runs the other day, but, you know, he's a guy who's going to contribute at some point this season. Let's not forget about Jake Dunning. He's throwing the ball well, too. And Dan Runsler even was off to a terrific start, and we know he got a long look this spring until he got hurt the other day. So, you know, he may be a part of things. So that's what you like is not only are they finding ways to win, they're sort of able to hit those speed bumps and not break stride, but they also have a little bit of depth down there too, which as you know, you're going to need.
Yeah, it's up and down. It's just 30 games, but it's been a lot of fun seeing it over the last 9. We had Bobby Evans on with us yesterday. By the way, this is Andy Baggerly with us this morning, and I got the impression from him, the distinct impression from him, that sooner than later, we are going to see Tyler Colvin up here in the major leagues.
He's really blistering the ball. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, Juan Perez is I don't know if he's got he's getting enough playing time on this team. You could see them swap out Perez for Colvin pretty soon, I think. But, you know, that they'd have to make a 40-man move to get Colvin on the 40-man roster, so that's always a little bit tricky. And at some point, they're going to have to figure out what to do with David Huff, who is throwing bullpens and will probably go on a minor league rehab assignment, if for nothing else, to stash him for a while they figure out what to do or wait for somebody else to maybe get nicked up or get hurt because, you know, they got an inventory issue in that bullpen, as you know, with nobody out of options.
Yeah, those things always find a way of working out. Hey, last thought for you. Bumgarner and Wood today, two young lefties. Wood's been terrific until the Marlin game. Bumgarner's been somewhat of an enigma for me at the Colorado game, but, boy, the command just isn't there. How do you see this one today?
Well, the last start, Marty, was the first one where I was sort of sitting up and saying, whoa, what's going on here? Because the misses were not competitive misses. They were, you know, balls that were easy takes out of the hand. And that's what Bumgarner said. He said, I didn't have it in the bullpen. I really couldn't get it together. But, you know, he competes well enough that it doesn't turn into a total disaster start. But no question, he could use a good one. Personally speaking, he could use a good one. And I know he's going to have a lot of friends and family in Atlanta, as he always does. He's from just up the road in North Carolina. So as Jeremy Affeldt said a couple years ago when he saw the line of pickup trucks in the, in the valet circle, he said, who's rednecking up the Ritz? So, you know, they always give Bumgarner a lot of grief over that. So I'm sure he would really, really like a good start today, not just so they have a chance to sweep a good team in their ballpark, which they haven't swept in Atlanta, Marty, since 1988. So
amazing.
I think Don Robinson might have been the guy to get it.
That's correct. That. Kelly Downs and Don Robinson got that done.
Wow. So, yeah, he would like a good one, no question. I think that would really, you know, he's not a guy who lacks for confidence, but you can tell he could use a boost today.
All right. Hey, appreciate it as always, and maybe we'll catch up with you after the game today. We've got plenty of time this afternoon, so I always appreciate talking to you.
No problem, Marty. I'm heading into the studio now, so be sure to catch the pregame show starting at 10 o'clock.
Well, I want to see the outfit. That's what I like, so, you know. You're turning into one of those Lindsey Nelson, Craig Sager guys. You know that.
Don't go. Do not adjust the picture on your TV screen. I won't break your set, hopefully.
All right. Andy, thank you so much, and chat with you later.
Thanks, Marty. Thank
all right. That is Andy Bagley. Always great to have him on at CSN Bags with two Gs, and you can follow him all the time. I follow him on Twitter. It's like I'm talking to him during the game. All right.